Some of it could be in my head. All right. It's good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here back in this service here this evening. I got you a new Bible. Boy, isn't that nice for your daddy's birthday? You see? Well, good for you. Good for you. That's a good. I'm glad to see a new Bible. Don't you just love the Word of the Lord? It's always good to get a new Bible, see a new Bible, and all that business there. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, since we're mentioning that. We'll be looking in the book of Job tonight. Looking in the book of Job. All right. In the book of Job. We're going to be looking there. If you're able to stand, look in verse number 23 in the book of Job, chapter 30, verse 23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death to the house appointed for all the living. Howbeit he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Lord, we've got many heavy hearts and many burdens that we've been trying to lay at your feet. Lord, may you have your will and way in each and every one of them. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Bless, I pray now, the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at, I preached many moons ago a sermon entitled, A Dusty Memory Cannot Be Wiped Away. You know, over there in the book of Genesis chapter 3, about verse number 19, he talked about is that we came from dust, and dust we're going to be going, dust thou shalt return. Remember that? And God reminds us all the time, even though we want to talk about life, and I want to end up with life, everlasting life, the life that we now enjoy one with another is a temporary life. But if you've got something that'll keep you alive and keep you going through all eternity, that's called eternal life or everlasting life. And I'm hoping and trusting and praying that you have been born again into the family of God, washed by the blood. Let me say to you, just because you say you're saved don't mean you are. Just because you say you're spiritual don't mean you are. Just because you get in the picture. But God knows that there's a difference between just being religious and religious-minded and being righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you, he's the only one that can do that. In this lesson that you're looking at, I want you to notice something, what he said. When it comes time to die, nobody likes to talk about it, but I'm going to have an escort. He said, I know that will bring me to death. I'm not going by myself. Whoever's leaving this world that knows the Lord, you're not going by yourself. You've got somebody that's going to be going with you. And let me tell you right now, as he said, I know you're going to bring me to the house appointed for all the living. If tonight you're considered alive, and if you're saved, you are. And if you're not, you're physically alive, but not spiritually. And let me say to you that if you will, that I hope that you will trust him and know him, because that's what the verse in 24 talked about. Howbeit he'll not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. I've got family, I've got friends and people that I've met and acquaintances that'll die without hope, without God, not because he doesn't love them, but because they love not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And let me say to you that when they go to the grave, they're going to cry in his destruction. But let me say to you, the Bible said he'll not stretch out his hand to the grave. Tonight, you sit here, and as a young man, a young lady, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, and God's got a hand of redemption that's stretched out to you. Do you have to receive it? No, you don't. But you'd better get it straightened out and receive it before you leave this world, because when you leave this world, you'll still cry in destruction, but God will not stretch his hand out to the grave any longer. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that he's going to be our escort if you're a child of God, and he's going to bring us through the valley of the shadow of death. And let me tell you, you have nothing to be able to fear about that. The psalmist said over in chapter 89, you ain't got to turn there, but in verse number 47 and 48, the time is short. And let me tell you, he asked the question, what man that liveth shall not see death? There's not a person on the face of this earth that's not going to be. Since the day you and I have been born, we've been headed toward the grave. Now, I'm glad to know that whenever it comes time to leave, that I've got somebody to escort me. But, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord to the child of God. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out is that over there in the book of Job, the Bible said, don't turn there, chapter 14, it's about verse 5. And also in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse 17. Now, there's two things that are brought there. A man may go before his time. But according to Ecclesiastes, he can't go past it. Isn't that something? I mean, if you're out here, is there anybody dead tonight that could be still alive? Sure. God said, there's some people that went before their time. But you'll definitely not go past whatever God's got timed for you. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that the reason we know of the cause of death is because we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. The Bible said there's not a just man upon the face of the earth that sinneth not, that doeth good and sinneth not. In other words, you and I are but sinners saved by the grace of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out is that there's going to be a time. And you and I realize and know that whenever our number's up, we're leaving. No matter how many treatments, it doesn't matter how many modern technicians that we've got, is that you may end up one of these days going before time, but you'll not go past time. And one of these days, if you're still alive and I'm gone, you'll know my number's up. I got to say to you that if you will, don't worry about it, I'll be in good hands. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, there's a certainty of it. The Bible said that it's appointed unto man once to die. We spend a whole lot of time in the day and hour that we're living in, and we pray and cry and agonize to God. Remember here the other day, and I told you, whenever Jimmy Carter, you know, hospice was with him, when his wife, Rosalind, died ahead of him at 96 years old. And what is Jimmy, about 100 fixing to be? And as a result of that, is that you just can't never figure all of that business out. I'll tell you what you better know. You better know him, the Lord Jesus, in the free pardon of sin. You think, preacher, I don't like. Well, you turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter number 9, there's a passage over there we ought to look at, because I've had to literally tell people, you know, I've had them tell me and say, well, I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to think about it. Well, let me tell you something, honey. It's thinking about you. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 21. In the passage there that you're looking at, after he says, hear the word of the Lord, you women, and give ear and receive the word of his mouth. In verse 20, verse 21, for death has come up into our windows and has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as a handful after the harvest, and none shall gather them. I got to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you think about the subject, and you ought to think about it every now and again when you drive by the cemetery and with your family, and you go there and try to remember or put flowers or remember people that's there, let me tell you, there was a time that death looked in our windows and came on inside. As you begin to look into it, that we have a frailty about us. We're not geared to live forever unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that our family is a kindred of dust. Why do you think you, when you walk out into your car and get in it, the dash is dusty? When you look under the bed or in the floor, on the shelves in the house, dust here and dust there. Some of you are meticulous housekeepers, but you can't get rid of it. Do you know why? God's trying to remind us that we were born of dust, and dust shall we return. He's trying to remember that, trying to help us with that. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that dust and death, it has a connection. That's why in every piece of furniture in your house, sooner or later, it's going to get dusty. You take every now and again, you know, there's a few things that I have to dust myself. There's some time I thought some fuzzy bear was growing on my dash, but finally I wiped it all off. And then you start sneezing for a little bit because it's all in the air and you can't get it on. And by the time you're done, it settles back again. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that there ought to be a carefulness about death. Do you realize that, oh, the man who stands as a pulpiteer, if he preaches a poor sermon, I guarantee you he'll think to preach again. You better give it all you've got every time you've got, and you better preach like it was the last time you ever had, because one day it will be. Every singer ought to sing like it's the last time they'll ever sing for Jesus, and one day it will be. Every witness ought to witness knowing that this could be your last time. I shot a nice little 8-point this year. Well, I've killed a couple of them and all that business there. And my wife, she's, "You going to have that one, man?" I said, "No, I don't think I'm going." "Well, it might be the last one you ever kill." I said, "Do you know something I don't know?" Every time there's several of the kids come over and the grandkids, they gather in, you know, and they're sitting down. "Something going to happen to me that I don't know about." See, that's just the way nature is, isn't it? Humanity. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, what we're saying, take every opportunity to do the best you can every time you can for the glory of the Lord. I guarantee you, in a day's time, do a day's work. In a day's time, do a day's study. Take no shortcuts. And let me say to you that if you will be faithful to study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed but rightly dividing the word of truth, is that if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that you don't want to get into the place to where that you think that you have arrived and that there's nothing going to be a danger to you. I got a friend of mine, he's dead and gone now, and I don't want to get into a sermon that I'm preaching soon on Phariseeism. It's awful quiet there. I didn't get an amen, but amen anyway. See? You got to be careful about being the judges of everybody else, their husband, their wife, their son, their daughter. You'll have enough to take care of on your own. Yes, sir. One of the things is that this friend of mine, he's dead and gone. Back when I didn't have TV and all that business there, is that I probably have been, let's see here, I'm 73. I may have in the last 35, 40 years been to a movie maybe twice, possibly three times. One of them was the Titanic. I didn't know it had an art study in it. I've been buying some brushes and painting to where I could try to. But my wife, she's not buying. This is not the Titanic. I had a friend of mine tell me, "You know what? I think that's worldly." "Really? Don't you have a TV in your house?" "Well, yeah, but. Now we got Billy Goat Baptist. Huh? Didn't I see you at the bowling alley? Yes, didn't I see you at the skating rink?" "Oh, I see. I'm going to have to check with you every time that I want to do something, this or that, to find out if it's worldly or not." Okay. Oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. I'll repeat all that again another day, but I don't want to mess with that. That's called gagging at a gnat and swallowing at a camel. Yes, sir. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, and do I care if you go to the movie? No. I mean, are there some things you ought not to be going to seeing? Sure. But if you don't know enough and have enough God and you to know the difference by now, no need me trying to tell you. No need you not doing something or doing something just so you can please me. See, it's awful quiet, but I mean, I should have brought it and went ahead and went on with it, but I don't want to mess it up. In this lesson that you're looking at, one of these days you're going to die. One of these days I'm going to die. One of these days we're going to stand before the Lord, give an account to God. See? I got to say to you that when you begin to look in this Bible lesson here, there's a comfort in this subject we're talking about, that as gloomy as it is, called death, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now there's a passage in Psalm chapter 48, you're going to want to look at it. And over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 48, this Bible says in about verse number 14, I want you to watch it. Here's the comfort. You know he's our God? Do you know he's our guard? Do you know he's our guide? Look in verse 14, chapter 48 of the book of Psalm. Here's what he says. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. I got to tell you something. How sweet that it is to know him and have life everlasting. Don't it just feel good to be alive? It does. That's the reason why when we got a loved one that we're praying so earnestly and praying so hard. And you know what it ought to do is that when we're driven to our knees, it ought to make us examine ourselves and search ourselves. Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way within me. I got to say to you that if you will, how sweet that it is to have everlasting life. And I'm looking forward with great anticipation when the guide of all the world and universe, he's my God forever and ever, it says in that passage. If you know him, he's forever and ever. Amen. And I want to tell you something, how sweet life is. How sweet life is. And, you know, I keep telling you, I always tell you, and I apologize if you're offended, but it's just because you're too old. But I hate old age. I hate it. I'm glad, I'm looking with great anticipation to the Lord coming again. Brother Eddie said, I'm probably going to live to be 100, as cantankerous as I am. I said, what an ugly thing to say. But he's probably right. But whatever time that it is, I'd like to leave shouting when it comes my time to go. You know, the closer you get, you want to be careful that you don't mess up before dark. And that's all. You know, I know some fellows that buddy messed up in their life, and that's all they'll be remembered for. I used to like to hear Jimmy Swaggart. He's doctrinally off in the Assembly of God. He's over in Baton Rouge, and buddy, he's built, you know, quite a following down through the years. And I used to like to hear him sing and play that piano and tickle him ivories and all that. And I've heard him preach a time or two, and even though he's a little off on some stuff, he can preach the gospel and be right about that. And but he used to play them that piano, you know, singing heaven sounding sweeter all the time. And let me tell you right now, friend, that if you've got an ounce of the grace of God on you in you, you'll hook up with it. And I remember that. He had two or three of them that were like that. But then he got caught out there in California, if I remember right, with a prostitute in a car. Now I remember when he stood up and cried and prayed, and I've sinned against my Lord. I'll give him that. I will give him that. All that business there didn't slow him down none. You know, as a result of that, you're going to find, but sad to say it, that's all he'll be remembered for. You mentioned Jimmy Swaggart now on any other side of the world, if they've ever even heard English one time, Jimmy Swagger, Harley Chaser. Did you say he's drove a Harley? No, Harley Chaser. You got to be careful in this life to be able to walk with God and to do right before the Lord. Because one day it'll be your last day, and you don't want to be remembered for bad junk. You want to be remembered for how you served the Lord and magnified the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. No more death. No more pain. No more agony. No more separation from ones that we love here in this life, that are even children of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not, my wife, she's sitting back there, and if she knows something I don't know, she's not looking forward to me dying. I'm certainly not looking forward to her dying. I'm not looking forward for church members to have to leave this veil of tears, even though I know they'll be in good hands, and even though our hearts will be broken, and even though that we'll weep, and even, you understand? But here's what I do know. You and I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding in our heart and our soul. I want to ask you young men tonight, you young ladies, have you got that kind of peace that passeth all understanding? Do you know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin? How can I know, preacher, how you called upon him to save your soul? Well, then if you haven't, you need to do that. As God comes knocking on your heart's door, you need to respond to him. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to dismiss tonight. Now, Father, we thank you for loving us. We've got some burdens on our heart that, Lord, that we've been looking unto you to be able to work in your time. And, Lord, we even pray now, as they sang tonight, even so come, Lord Jesus. We look with great anticipation to thy coming again. In the meantime, may you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives